Pastor, good evening.
Good evening.
Nice to be back with you again. This is a special place for us. Would you imagine going to one of the public schools and preaching the gospel? A pretty big public school, maybe 1,000, 1,500, preaching the gospel just like you would here in this church. Well, you don't have to just imagine it. It's happening day after day after day in South Africa, and also Zambia and Botswana when we're able to go there, in a few weeks to Malawi, then to Rwanda, Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda. And it's a huge privilege. Sometimes there'll be hundreds of Muslims in the high school. Two weeks ago, the principal told me there of the 1,400 students, 60% were Muslim. And I preached to them the same thing I'm going to preach to you right now. There'll be something here for everyone. But also you'll get a sample of what you would see and hear in these public schools and prisons and churches in South Africa. The video we just saw, my daughter, she was a teenager when she produced that. I don't know if you noticed, there's about 600 schools within a 40-minute drive of our house there in Cape Town. And we haven't been to all of them. We've been about 300 of them in Cape Town and then hundreds in other parts. This is a sample of what you'd see. Here's a man, he and his wife have a secret plan. They've just gotten some money by the sale of some property. Well, they got some more too. They're going to give some at church. They're going to keep some. But they're telling everyone they're giving it all. So the man, his name is Ananias, he comes walking into church, bringing the money, part of the money. The pastor said to him, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? You have not lied to men, you've lied to God. And when Ananias heard those words, suddenly he fell down dead. Man, I'm glad God did not kill me when I used to tell lies. But God hasn't changed. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Lying just as bad now as it was then. When I was a boy, I stole something. Well, actually, I stole a lot of things, but this time Mom caught me. Did you take that? I lied to her. She knew I was lying. She loved me, so she... In South Africa, you'd call that a jolly good hiding. Kind of mild compared to what Dad would do. He didn't just use his hand. He had a board about that long, about that wide, about that thick. Somebody wrote on it, Board of Education. Let me tell you, he educated me with it. I guess you could also call it a memory stick. Help me remember some things. I'm not making fun of Dad. The Bible says, you shall beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. Chastens him early means. Whew, Dad loved me a lot. Now, I heard a guy whining and complaining about Dad giving him a spanking he didn't deserve. Well, maybe so and maybe not, but I know one thing. He and I both did a lot of wicked things that Dad never caught us. But Mom did something else, too. Yeah, she gave me a spanking because she loved me, but I lied. She made me copy a bunch of Bible verses about the punishment of liars. I can still remember one of those verses I had to write. Revelation 21:8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I didn't like writing those verses. I didn't like the spanking either. But even then, I knew she was right. I could read. I could see what the Bible said. Another verse about hell, it says, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. I know it's not very popular to preach about hell. And some guys who do preach about hell, they tone it down. They don't say it the way the Bible does. They'll say, separated from Christ. That's what they say. Now, let me answer that two ways. Number one, the Bible says they're tormented in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Number two, you're talking to a guy, you want to get him saved. He's drinking, he's cursing, he's selfish, he's a liar and a thief, has a wicked mind, he's been going his own way, he doesn't like what God says, and you tell him he's going to be separated from Christ. That's exactly what he likes. Why don't you just tell him what the Lord says? Tormented with fire and brimstone, everlasting fire. Let's not be ashamed of what the Lord says. Jesus said, if anybody's ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the holy angels, with the holy angels. In fact, the Bible says, tells about two men cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 19, the beast and the false prophet. Then after 1,000 years, they're still in the lake of fire. Look, you drop a piece of paper into the fire, it'll turn to ashes in a few seconds, right? You throw a stick in the fire, it'll burn up in a few minutes. Even if you dump a log into the fire, it may take an hour or two. But after 1,000 years, and then it says they're tormented day and night forever and ever. There are several big lessons. We better make sure we're saved. That's not something you want to gamble about. I want to tell as many people as I can the good news, how they can be saved from everlasting fire. Let me give you another example, how serious sin is. Oh, lots and lots of them. Examples that the wages of sin is death. I could tell you about the guy, people who complained and they were burned to death. Or the stubborn and rebellious son who was stoned to death. Or the man who touched the Ark of the Covenant. He wasn't trying to be rebellious. He disobeyed what God had said and he was struck dead. Lots of examples. But here's a little boy. This little boy always obeyed his mom. His mother's name was Mary. The little boy's name was Jesus. Jesus got bigger. He helped the poor. He fed people who were hungry. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, cast demons out of people who had been tormented. Here's a man who's lame, could never walk, and now he can get up and walk and run and jump. He'll never need his crutches again. What did they do to Jesus? They murdered him. They arrested him one night, tied him up, accused him falsely, spit in his face, beat him till his face was bloody and swollen and cut, bruised. Then they murdered him in a bloody, violent death on a cross. Why? So we would not have to take our own punishment in everlasting fire. But it killed him. They took his dead body off the cross, wrapped him up in a long white cloth. His head, his body, his feet. They buried him in a tomb near to the place where he'd been murdered, put a big stone over the mouth of the grave. The grave was located in a garden near the place where Jesus had been killed. But on the third day, he rose again, proved he really is the Son of God, just as much God as God the Father is God. So, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus died for our sins, took our punishment in his own body on the cross. Every time we've lied, stolen, hurt others, said wicked things, thought evil thoughts, did evil deeds, things we should have done, we didn't do, things we should not have done, we did them anyway, said evil things with our mouths, God punished Jesus for all those sins. And since he's done that, he's paid the debt. He has made everlasting life a free gift. So he's gone to heaven to prepare a beautiful heavenly city. With beautiful walls and foundations of precious stones. I can't show you how beautiful the heavenly city is. It's a city of gold. Can't even show you how big it is. It's more than 1,500 miles long. It's more than 1,500 miles wide. It's more than 1,500 miles high. I'm just drawing a little edge, a little corner of that heavenly city. Up in heaven, there's the tree of life. The tree of life has fruit all 12 months of the year. There'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. I am looking forward to going to heaven. I'm especially looking forward to going to heaven now. I've said before, I'm looking forward to seeing our little girl. You saw her picture, some of her pictures in the video. She got sick one evening. We took her to the hospital. I laid her down. I saw she was not breathing. I called her name. Cherish. She breathed maybe twice. I told the doctors to hurry and come help our little girl breathe again. Seven doctors and nurses worked hard trying to get her to breathe, to live. They sent Vicky and me out to another room. We couldn't even be with our own little girl while she was dying. I'll tell you, we sure cried that night. Yeah, but do you think she's crying up in heaven? I said, do you think she's crying up in heaven? No, man, you have more fun, more pleasure in heaven than you ever had here on earth. Our little girl used to like to climb up on things. I wonder if she's climbing up in the tree of life right now, picking all the fruit she wants. She's not going to fall out of the tree and get hurt. Not up in heaven. She liked animals too, especially horses. And while you're busy working tomorrow or going to school tomorrow, I wonder if my little girl's out horseback riding. The Bible says there's white horses up in heaven, Revelation chapter 19. Heaven is not a dark, dirty city. It is a bright city. I can't show you how bright. Jesus said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Did you hear? If you go to heaven, you'll shine like the sun. Man, the sun is so bright, you don't want to look right at it. Hey, if you go to heaven, you will shine like the sun yourself. And here's another nice thing about heaven. When you get to heaven, you'll feel at home. Now, we've all been to fancy places here on earth. Some of those places are so fancy, they won't even let you touch anything. Then you go back home. Home may not be so big, may not be so fancy, but at home you can relax. You're at home. Hey, when you get to heaven, everyone there will like you, will welcome you. You will feel at home. You know, the last thing our little girl said, I had no idea this would be the last thing I would hear her say in this life. We had just driven to the hospital, hadn't even gotten inside yet. She was tired. She said, "I want to go home." Hey, when you go to heaven, you do go home. A better home. Not just better, the Bible says far better. And when I get to heaven, I hope she meets me at the gate. We used to go home. She'd come running out to the gate. We have gate walls and gates around our place. Everybody does in our area. So much crime. She'd come running out to the gate. I'd pick her up, hold her up high. She was not afraid of heights. I'd set her down. Sometimes she'd run away and say, "You can't catch me." And she'd go hide. Well, she was only two. I could see where she was. But I played like I didn't know where she was, so I'd look in the wrong places. She was so happy I couldn't find her, she started laughing at me. I'd pick her up and swing her around. Hey, I want to hold her again. Play with her again. I am looking forward to going to heaven. But I was not good enough to go to heaven. I'm not going to confess my sins to you. That'd be pretty embarrassing. Take a long time, too. But wait. Jesus took my punishment on the cross, and now he has made eternal life a free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. We don't deserve it. But he has paid for it. I asked him for it, and he said, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, could we have the lights off, please? Often, often I thank Jesus that he has saved me from the lake of fire. Hell would be a terrible place if it burns you out of existence. But it's worse than that. Jesus called it everlasting fire. He called it everlasting punishment, also in Matthew 25. But since he's taken our punishment on the cross, we don't have to take our own punishment. He's made everlasting life a free gift. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. See my little girl, play with her. See mom and dad and others. Hey, hey, we'll have a wonderful time there. Is that what you want? I said, is that what you want?
Yes.
Well, if you believe Jesus, he's given it to you. But remember, if you really believed, if you really know him, you make a big change. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar. You see, we all used to go our own way. We lied. Am I right? Sometimes we have stolen. Did you ever get some food mommy didn't say you could have? No. Boys, men, we've sinned, we've disobeyed God when we hurt others, especially when they were littler than us. Guys, am I right? God said, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you don't try to hurt him? Well, really, the answer's not that hard. The answer's no. Girls, ladies, sometimes we've hurt others by the things you said about them. Ladies, girls, am I right? God said, love your neighbor as yourself. Here's another way we've broken that law. Sometimes we could have shared. with those in need. Sometimes we did not even think about it. Oh, we thought about what we wanted. Didn't think much about what they wanted. Am I right? And when we broke that commandment, love your neighbors yourself, that's not just a little minor rule we broke. We've broken the great commandment. All the laws fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5, Romans 13. You see, we've been great sinners. Now, a lot of us never have committed homosexuality. A lot of us never have committed abortion and never have gotten drunk. And sometimes we feel like we're pretty righteous. But Jesus said, whoever's angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. And whoever says, you fool, is in danger of hell fire. And you know and I know we've gotten angry at others and we've called others by some mean, bad names. You can see if we're going to go the Lord's way, we need to make a big change. God said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he'll have mercy. You see, returning to the Lord means turning from our own way. Listen again. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he'll have mercy. Changing what we do. We've lied, but all liars go to the lake of fire. Now we tell the truth. There's a change. That stuff we stole, now when we can, we give it back. We've hurt others. Now we will be. That's a really hard question. See if you can figure it out. We have hurt others. When we go the Lord's way, we will be kind. Yeah, that's a good one. We'll be nice. We'll be loving. And that's how you can tell if you're saved. Listen to 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. 1 John 3:15. There's a change. We used to disobey. Now we will obey, right. Doesn't mean we're perfect yet. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But there's enough of a change so that the Holy Spirit writes these words in the Word of God. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Well, that's pretty plain talk. There's a change. It's not just a change in what we do. It's also a change in our thinking. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. God said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Guys, Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, boys, men, you know that happens a lot. Looking at the girls, the women, the pictures, the porn, with sexual desire. How serious is it? It is so serious, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, your eye makes you sin by what you're looking at, it'd be better to pull it out, throw it away, enter into life with only one eye, rather than keep both eyes and be cast into hell. Jesus said in Matthew 5. Man, you can see if we're going to go his way, it means a big change. And that's what the Bible word is, repent. Change your mind, change the way you live. John the Baptist said, if you don't bring forth fruits fit for repentance, if you don't show that you've changed, you'll be cast into unquenchable fire. Now, there's two or three lessons. Number one, we better be sure we've repented. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. There's another big reason, another big lesson. I want to help as many people as I can receive this gift. Let me tell you something that's helped. I've been doing it for a good many years, several decades actually. But I've been doing it more recently, and I found it's really helped make my preaching a lot more effective. And that is, I did a little tonight, mention specific sins and what the Lord says about them. As I mentioned, if I got up here and preached against abortion and homosexuality and drunkenness, it could be that a lot of you would go out feeling more self-righteous than you were when you came in. Because a lot of us have never done that. And we shouldn't. And so a lot of us aren't even tempted by some of that stuff. Yeah, but we've done a bunch of other things that deserve the lake of fire. And when I show a person that he's lied, and all liars go to hell, and he's stolen, maybe he didn't steal a car, but he's still stolen. Or he's hurt others. He's broken the great commandment to love your neighbors yourself, or too selfish to share. Yeah. He that sees his neighbor have need, doesn't help him, doesn't show compassion, how does the love of God dwell in him? He doesn't have eternal life. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. And when I can show people their sin, many times I've seen, then they're quite happy to turn to Jesus for mercy. We can go out soul winning here in this community and ask people if they want to receive the gift of eternal life. And if you've had any experience, you know that a lot of people are just plain contemptuous of it. Am I right? But if they hear God's word, they're confronted with their sins, specific sins, and their own conscience secretly inside is saying, yes, you are guilty. And they hear the penalty. Many of them are then quite happy to turn to Jesus for mercy. Many times I've seen hundreds in one day, because often I preached 1,000 or more, sometimes 2,000 or maybe even 3,000 in a day in the schools. I've seen hundreds and hundreds, sometimes in a day, make a public profession of repentance and faith in Jesus, right there in front of all their peers. I want to tell the good news. I want to warn the wicked of his wicked way so he'll turn to the Lord for mercy. Let's bow our heads. If you're glad you're saved, if you're glad Jesus has taken your punishment, he's given you the free gift of eternal life, then thank him. But hey, you want your family members saved too, don't you? You want your friends saved, people you work with or go to school with, neighbors. Then ask God to help you. A lot of you probably need what I needed. I needed boldness. It's not that I was scared to talk to people. I wasn't. I was a president of the high school debating club. Yeah, but when I came to talking about Jesus and salvation, I was a coward. In fact, I was a first-class chicken. And some of you know you've been that too. I remember hearing a missionary preaching one time, and I realized I didn't really love the Lord much. The missionary said, when I fell in love, I was happy to go around with my girlfriend, talk about her, be seen with her. And I realized the reason I was ashamed of the Lord is that I didn't hardly love him at all. That didn't solve everything, but that was a step in the right direction of learning realizing I needed God's help. My poor, cold, unloving heart needed help. And some of you know the same thing is true with you. And I asked God to give me boldness, and He's done it. I guess I probably ought to say this. It hadn't happened overnight, and He's been pretty patient with me over the past 50-some years of trying to witness. But ask Him. You can ask that. Ask God to give you boldness to do it in love and kindness. And then ask Him something else, too. It's not enough to be bold. You've got to have His power. You need more than a big mouth. You've got to have His power, man. And Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you and be witnesses to me. When you're filled with God's Spirit, as you're speaking to others, God's Spirit is speaking to them too. It'll pierce their hearts. You don't even see it. A lot of times you don't even know it. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Jesus hasn't made it all that hard or all that complicated to receive the fullness of His Spirit. He said, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Did you ask Him for boldness? Now ask Him to fill you with His Spirit so you can be an effective witness, so that you can rescue many people from the lake of fire. That's not a selfish request. That would glorify God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So ask Him to give you boldness. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Lord, would you visit us here with your Spirit? Bless us so much by your mercy. Fill us with your blessing and mercy so that we will overflow to many others around us and to the ends of the earth. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Thank you for what you're going to do for us. Whether we feel any different now or not, you do what you say you'll do. And thank you that you did promise to give the Holy Spirit to those who would ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before I sit down, let me mention a couple of things. In the past, I've had a bunch of books and things on the table. I don't have those with me now, but actually all of you can read the books that we produce on our website. Here's one, Principles of Church Growth. Somebody in Malawi just asked for a lot of these. You can read it. Our website is drawingotherstochrist.com. Here's another one. Saving faith does involve a change of behavior. I found about 50 places in the Bible that show if you really believe Jesus, there will be a change. How to Have the Power. I've just spoken about it briefly. Jesus hasn't made it all that hard or all that complicated to receive the fullness of His Spirit. I used to hear Dr. John R. Rice preach on that. I don't hear much about it anymore. I think people are afraid of sounding like a Pentecostal. But we need what the Bible says. How to Have a Time Alone with God. What God says about prosperity. You may be surprised how much the Bible says about it. I know that a lot of televangelists and word of faith type people have exaggerated and been very selfish in the way they present it. But this really doesn't have much opinion. You can see for yourself exactly what the Bible says. Here's a little book about our family called In His Service and Loving It. Now, the books aren't here, but all of you can read them free on our website. What's our website? DrawingOthersToChrist.com. Right. And also some of the chalk talks. Here's a DVD. We do have a few of these. If you want to pick up one while they last out there in the foyer, or whatever you call that place out there. It has 25 different chalk talks. If you'd like to copy them, you can. A fella in the capital city of South Africa. Say they made 1,000 copies of this. If you'd like to make copies, you can. That'd be an easy way to share the gospel. Stick that in your DVD player. Get your friends. Get some kids. Say, here's this tall guy. Has big ears. Draws pictures. And they'd hear the gospel. Would that be hard? That'd be pretty easy. Or just go to the website. It's on YouTube there. Now, you can help us if you'll pray for us. Some of you know that in January I had a stroke. Sometimes I tell people a blood clot went to my brain and destroyed the whole brain. But so far, nobody's noticed any difference yet. Well, no, it wasn't really that bad. I'm still alive. Some of you have noticed. If you'll pray for us, that'll help. I'm 69 years old, and I want to keep going for the Lord. I enjoy what I'm doing, but if you'll pray for us, it'll help us. Would you pray for us sometimes? Good. Thanks.